Well, let's dive into the Word this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Psalm 23, a very familiar psalm. This week, I'm actually continuing kind of my little mini-series that I started a few weeks back on prayer. I told you when I started it that I didn't know how long we would go because I mentioned, you know, there's just so much that you can talk about when it comes to prayer. There's so much to be said. And I think it's so important that we understand how important and vital prayer is to our lives. I think oftentimes it's just something we do because we're Christians, right? We pray. And I think sometimes we can take prayer for granted and really fail to see the impact that it can have on our lives. And so I want you to hear something this morning that I think is crucial for us to understand when it comes to prayer. And that's this: the reality is God can do whatever He wants to do, right? I mean, He is God. He can do whatever He wants to do. But listen to this. Listen closely. He chooses to partner with us in this thing called prayer to accomplish His will. And I don't believe that God's will or purpose will be accomplished in our lives without prayer. Because that's the way God works. He partners with us in prayer. Why would God ask us to pray if our prayers meant nothing? Right? It's important, and we have to partner with God. He chooses to come alongside us and to partner with us in prayer. This is why prayer is so vitally important to our lives. This is why that unselfish prayer that I talked about last week and mentioned earlier is so important, because it's through those prayers that God's will is accomplished in and through our lives, in and through His kingdom. And so this morning, I want to look again at this thing called prayer. And more importantly, I want to look at who we pray to. Okay? Why do we pray to God? Why can we trust God with our prayers? This week, I found myself in Psalm 23. And the Lord revealed some things to me about who He is. About why we can come to Him. Why we can trust Him when it comes to prayer. Psalm 23 was actually the first full chapter. Sounds good, doesn't it? First full chapter that I ever memorized. Okay, a little first grader, I memorized Psalm 23. Now, it's only 6 verses, I know, but for a little first grader, that was a pretty big accomplishment to memorize this whole chapter, okay? I won a blue ribbon for taking first place in a memory contest that we had at the Christian school back in this time. And I won this blue ribbon. I was sad, though, because the first graders didn't get to compete like the third graders and fourth graders and fifth graders did. My sister, she ended up winning these cool medals that I didn't get. I had a blue ribbon, which was cool. It was blue. It wasn't red or white like the other people's. Mine was blue because I took first, and I'm still very proud of that. But it was the first scripture. Sorry, I digress quickly. It was the first scripture the full chapter that I had learned. And so I just say that to say this. I've read and I've quoted this psalm time and time again, right? But this week it was interesting as I was studying it. I don't know why I came across it, but I discovered something I never realized before in the midst of this psalm. Psalm 23 actually points out 7 names of our God. And so I want to look at these 7 names this morning and point out why we can confidently bring our prayers to Him. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me this morning as we read Psalm 23. I was able to put my points just with this crazy week this week up on the board, but I wasn't able to get all the scriptures and stuff that I'm going to read today, so I'll try to make sure you know each of them as we go, but this one you'll know. Psalm 23, I could practically quote it, but it says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." I learned it in a different translation though, so I have to follow along here in NIV. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love this psalm, and one of the reasons I love this psalm is because it's so personal, right? It says there, He is my shepherd, right? He's my shepherd. He's your shepherd. These six verses here, and really the first four, tell us a lot about our God and who He is to each of us. And this morning, as we talk about the importance of prayer, I want to share with you the seven names of Jehovah that we see in this scripture and why we can faithfully come to Him with our prayers. The first name we see here at the beginning of verse 1 is Jehovah Raha, which basically means God is my shepherd. Right? The Lord is my shepherd. That's how it starts. Now, what does that mean for us? And why is that important when it comes to prayer? Well, a shepherd guides and directs his sheep. And as we seek God in prayer, as our shepherd, He will guide and direct our steps. See, it's extremely important that we see God as our shepherd, because then we will continually be looking to Him for guidance and direction. In the same way, sheep continually look to the shepherd. Sheep, they're followers, right? They'll follow anything, really. But they're followers. And most of all, they follow the voice of the shepherd. He's earned their trust, and so they allow Him to guide and direct them where they are going. And I think as we come to a place where we see God as our shepherd, it's then that we continually seek Him and His direction for our lives. It's coming again to that place where we've mentioned the last few weeks where we're praying, not our will, but His will be done in our lives. The Lord is our shepherd, Jehovah Raha, and He has a plan for each of us if we will allow Him to guide us and direct us. But we must take time to seek Him and allow Him to do that in our lives. The second name of God that we discover in this scripture is one we've all heard before, I think, anyways. Jehovah Jireh, which means God is our provider. One of my favorite songs growing up. I was trying to remember the other day, this came to me, and I don't remember if it was in the Christian school or if it was in Sunday school, but there's the song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. I just remember singing this at school. His grace is sufficient for me. You know, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, right? You see, if you look at the end of verse 1 there, it says what? It says, I shall not want. And the reason we shall not want is because God is our provider. All throughout the scriptures, we see scriptures about how the Lord provides, about the Lord providing for us. Let me just share a couple with you this morning. Psalm 145:16 of Psalm says this, You open Your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. He doesn't just provide for us. He provides for every living thing. Jehovah Jireh, God is our provider. Matthew 6:26 says this, Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet Your heavenly Father feeds them. He provides for them. And then it says, Are you not worth much more than them? He cares much more about us than He does about the birds, right? He is our provider. He will take care of us. And one more that I like is Philippians 4:19. Says, And my God will meet, or some Some translations say, my God shall supply, right? He will supply all our needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God is our provider, and knowing that is important when it comes to prayer. Because when we come before Him, we can give our needs to Him, right? Because we know He's our provider. We don't have to worry about it anymore. Because God's our provider, and when we give it to Him, it's in His hands, and He will take care of us. Now, the problem is, oftentimes, what do? We try to be our own provider, right? We try to take things into our own hands. We try to make things happen ourselves. And in doing that, what happens? We mess things up, don't we? In doing that, we mess things up. We have to give it to Him. We have to let Him be our provider. We have to trust that His provisions, listen to this one, His provisions will always be better than ours, right? His provisions will always be better than ours. Sometimes, though, we struggle with the way God provides, right? He's not fast enough. He's not giving us what we want. He's not doing it this way. He's not doing it that way. But I want you to know this. If God doesn't give us what we want, it's because He has something better. We may not see that or realize that, but He has something better. He knows what we need more. We may not see that to begin with, but God will always, and I want you to hear that, He will always give us something better. He will always give us what's right for us. If He withholds something from us, it's because He has something better for us. How many times have I thought I knew what I wanted, and God says no, and what He gives us is something even greater than what we ever could have hoped or imagined for. He is our provider, and so we can pray with confidence as we give Him our needs, because He is Jehovah Jireh. The third name that we discover about God in these scriptures is that He is Jehovah Shalom, right? We know that name. I didn't know this Salem. I didn't know that that's Shalom, right? Which means that He is the God of peace, that God is our peace. Verse 2 of Psalm 23 says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Doesn't that just when you hear that, doesn't that sound good? Both of these things, green pastures, quiet waters, they paint this picture of serenity, this picture of peace. And I believe God desires for us to experience a life of peace. So what does this mean for us as we're talking about prayer? Well, let me share with you what I've discovered when it comes to peace. And this is tough. But true godly peace only comes when we fully surrender our hearts to the Lord. Listen to this scripture. We've heard this scripture before. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, that's the one we quote all the time. But listen to verse 7. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 6 here is talking about giving everything to the Lord, right? Trusting Him. It's referring to that heart of surrendering everything to the Lord. Whatever fears you have, whatever doubts you have, give them to the Lord. Let Him be responsible for those things. Release everything to the Lord. And when we do, it says the peace of God will transcend all understanding. Prayer is about giving everything to God. Why? So that ultimately we can experience His peace in our lives, because He is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Now, the fourth name of God that we discover in these scriptures is that He is Jehovah Rapha, which means God is our healer. I love that one. It's one of my favorite ones. The beginning of verse 3 says, He restores my soul. We serve a God who restores. We serve a God who heals. May not always be how we want or what we think again, but He restores and He heals. And if we've chosen to make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of our lives, then we have experienced His healing power in us, right? Jeremiah 17:14, I love this scripture. It says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for You are the one I praise." You see, as believers, we can't deny the healing power of God in our lives. And regardless of what we may face in life, we have to trust in the healing power of Jesus Christ, because He is our healer. He is the one who heals. I learned this at a young age. I shared this story a couple years ago. Some of you may remember it. But when I was 5 years old, I was watching my dad play basketball at our church. I was up in the stands kind of messing around, because my dad played numerous games throughout the night. I was up in the stands kind of messing around, not really paying attention to the game, when all of a sudden I noticed it got really quiet. When I looked out onto the court, I realized that there was someone laying on the ground, and all the guys were surrounding this person laying on the ground. I didn't realize at the time that that person was my dad. He had broken his leg right there in the gym. Well, they ended up taking me home. Someone drove me home, and I was 5 years old, and then someone took my dad to the hospital. And when my dad came home from the hospital, he was in this huge cast because he had pretty much just snapped his ankle. But here I am, this young believer in Jesus, that God is our healer, right? I probably just heard it in Sunday school. I probably heard of the miracles that God did. And I remember telling my dad, I said, "Dad, you don't need that cast. Jesus can heal you." Now, it's funny, my dad and I really don't remember what happened after that. We don't remember, like, if we prayed or what, or if he just all of a sudden, you know, just said, "You're right, God can heal me." But what I remember next is my dad getting a sheetrock knife, and this is the old school plaster cast, and trying to cut off his cast with a sheetrock knife. Now, after about an hour, he had gotten about that far on this long cast, and he was being very careful, you know, because you don't want it to jab your leg, you know. Last thing, "Yeah, look, I cut off the cast, but I mangled my leg in the process," right? So he's sitting there trying, and finally he's like, "Darren," he's like, "I am not going to get this cast off myself." But he said, "I go to the doctor in 2 days, my doctor, in 2 days, and I'll have him cut off the cast." Sure enough, 2 days later, my dad goes to the doctor. And I know the doctor must have thought he was crazy, because he had just got it put on. He said, "I want you to cut it off." Prayed with my son, me and my son, we talked, it's healed. My dad comes home from the doctor, no cast, walking as if nothing ever happened, as God healed his leg. From that day on, I never doubted the healing power of God. I had seen it work in my dad's life. And since that day, I have never doubted what God could do. Which is one of the reasons that we have to pray. Because God can heal. Now, is He always going to do it in the way that He did for my dad? No. Sometimes the healing process takes being set and going through the proper, you know, stuff that the doctors do to bring that healing. Sometimes it will be miraculously. Sometimes as we pray for people that are sick, they'll receive ultimate healing as they go to be with the Father. Maybe not the way we wanted. But here's the thing I've realized when it comes to praying about healing. It's not our job to determine how God is going to heal. It's our job to be faithful and to be obedient and to pray. That's what we're called to do. And I think as we faithfully pray, we can trust the healing power of Jehovah Rapha, of God our healer. The fifth name of God we discover in these scriptures. This was the one I had to listen to this online to pronounce this one. But it's Jehovah Tsidkenu. All right, Tsidkenu. God is our righteousness. The end of verse 3 says, He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He is the God of righteousness. Now, why is this important for us as we pray? I think it's important because God has a way of doing the right thing when we can't. God has the way of making things right that we can't make right on our own. We have to be people who come before the Lord in humility and admit, Lord, I can't fix this, but I know You can because You are a God of righteousness. You see, God can make a way when no one else can. He's the kind of God that when you come up against the Red Sea and you got Egyptians coming from the other direction trying to destroy you, He'll part the Red Sea. He can make it right. He can do what He needs to do. He's the kind of God that when you're in the desert with nothing to eat and you think that there's no hope, you can't do anything, He will provide manna from heaven. He is righteous and He will always provide a way for righteousness when we seek Him. It doesn't matter our failures. It doesn't matter what we've done. If we seek Him, we can experience His righteousness in our life. And righteousness means we're made right with the Lord. We can't do that on our own. There are a lot of people out in this world that try to make it right. I'm going to earn my way to heaven. I'm going to do what I need to do to make things right. You can't do it. We get there through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we have to seek His righteousness in our lives. Jehovah Tsidkenu, God is our righteousness. The sixth name of God we discover in these scriptures, it's my favorite one to say, I don't know why, but Jehovah Nissi, which means God is our victory. God is our victory. The beginning of verse 4 says, Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You see, last week I talked about the fact that we are in a great spiritual battle. If you were here last week, I talked about that. That we're engaged in this spiritual battle that goes on around us. That there's an enemy that seeks to bring us down. But we don't have to fear this enemy because as we pray, we call on the God of victory, Jehovah Nissi. Now the idea here is that we have a God that goes before us. That's this whole idea of Jehovah Nissi. He brings victory as He goes before us. Now the problem is when we go before the Lord does, right? When we get out in front of Him or we go our own way and God isn't before us. You see, we're called to be followers of Jesus, right? We're called to follow Him, which to follow someone, that means He's in front, right? He's the one leading the way. And if He's leading the way, we see here, we will always experience victory through Him. Now, I want to say this, though. Even though He goes before us, even though we will experience victory through Him, it doesn't mean we won't experience challenges and difficulties along the way, right? We know the end of the story. We know, we have the ability to go to the end of the book here, okay? And to see what it says. And when we go to the end of the book, guess what? God wins. It's awesome. It's amazing. We know the end of the story. We know that God wins. But that doesn't mean we won't experience some battles along the way as we're following and as we're seeking Him. As a matter of fact, I believe it's in those battles that we grow and that we come to understand the victory that we have in Jesus. I want to just give you three quick side notes here. I don't even have them to put up on the screen. But three quick side notes to encourage you when you're in the midst of a battle. The first is this. I want to encourage you in this way. Number one, we have to realize God didn't create it, but He's in it. He didn't create this pain and suffering. Now, He may have led us through it, right? But He didn't create it, but He is in it. He is the one that will help us through it. And He is the one that will bring us victory. We see this with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They're thrown into a fiery furnace. They should be washed up, should be dead. What do they see in the fiery furnace? Do they see three people? No. What do they see? They see four. Why? Because God is there with them. He's with them in the middle of this challenge, in the middle of this battle that they're facing. God didn't create it, but He's in it, and He'll help us get through it. Secondly, in the midst of the battle, God wants us to learn to trust in Him and His abilities. Sometimes God allows us to go through those situations because He wants us to learn to trust in Him. I think a lot of times we lack faith, don't we? We forget how big God is. We see the challenges. We see the battles that come against us. And we forget God is way bigger than any of those things. God wants us to learn to trust in Him regardless of how scary, regardless of how hard, regardless of how impossible things may seem. We saw this with David when he faced Goliath, right? Everyone else was afraid of this giant. Oh no, he's a giant. Oh no, look out, man. He'll eat you up. Right? They're afraid of this big monster. And this little guy, I mean, we know David was a little guy. He's like, what are you afraid of? We have God on our side. He is with us, right? He is our strength. David trusted in God and God's abilities, not on his own abilities. David knew he couldn't defeat Goliath on his own. But with what God had given him and the power of God, he could do anything, right? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We have to trust God in the battles. And then thirdly, this is we have to understand that the battles may be hard and long, but the outcome was decided long ago. And that's what I mentioned earlier. We see it in here that God is victorious. God is the victor. And if we continue to allow Him to go before us, we will experience victory in and through Him in the end. Because we serve Jehovah Nissi, the God of victory, and He is the one who we call upon when we pray. The final name of God that we see in Psalm 23 is Jehovah Shema, which means that God is present. The middle of verse 4 says, "For you are with me." We serve a God that is always with us. He is always present in our lives. He's always aware of whatever we face, whatever we're going up against. He knows because He is there. And as I mentioned just earlier in our time of worship, He intimately cares about us. He wants to be with us. And so we can come to Him with anything and know that He is there to listen and to help us. It's not like, you know, it's not like we have to get on the phone, right? Last week when my son was having to go to the emergency room, when my son was having trouble with his memory, I talked about it, he was severely dehydrated, right? My wife's trying to call me and get a hold of me, you know, and I'm thankfully I answered it. Thankfully I felt it. Sometimes I don't feel it. But she's calling me, and I'm like, hello, and she's panicking. You've got to come. You've got to help. I don't know what's going on with Toby, right? We don't have to do that with God. We don't have to get on the phone and hope He answers because He's right there. He's present. He's wherever we're at. He's whatever we're going through. He is there, and He wants to help us. He tells us to call upon His name. These seven names of God, they're so powerful when you think about who we're praying to, right? They tell us the kind of God that we serve, a God that desires for us to seek Him, a God that desires to answer our prayers. And as we come to better understand who it is we're praying to, who it is that we're seeking to serve, we can come before Him with great confidence. As I wrap things up this morning, I just want to leave you with five simple steps to help you make the most of your times with the Lord. Again, I didn't put these. I forgot about these. I didn't put these on the screen. But they're five really simple things. You're going to go, yeah, duh. But we fail to do them at times. Five simple things that I really believe if you take time to do them, I think you'll experience some great times of intimacy with the Lord and some powerful times of prayer, of seeing God move in the midst of our prayers. And so, five quick things. Number one, find a quiet place. Find a quiet place. Luke 5:16 says this, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places, right? Lonely, quiet places, and prayed. Find a quiet place. Go somewhere where you can get away from distractions. I don't care if that's up in the attic, if that's a closet where no one will bother you. I don't care if that's getting in your car and driving out, sitting next to the creek. Whatever works for you. Find a quiet place where you can get away from distractions. And I think it's important because in today's world, we live in a time where life is always busy and there's always distractions. And if we really want to experience those intimate times of prayer with the Lord, we need to get away from the busyness. We need to get away from the distractions. We need to find a quiet place where we can just be with God. Secondly, I told you these are simple. Secondly, when you find that quiet place, I encourage you to start with just being quiet. Just be quiet. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." This is probably one of the hardest things for us to do, isn't it? To just be quiet. It's interesting, even in worship sometimes. Nowadays, we've kind of trained that at the end of worship, you got to kind of be ready to play right into the next song. And if there's any quietness, people are kind of like looking up. Is there something wrong? We're not used to just being quiet before the Lord. It's hard for us, you know? When we're in small groups, you know, I struggle with this, and we're talking, and there's this quiet lull. You feel like, oh, I got to speak up and say something. When sometimes it's just, we just need to be still and be quiet before the Lord. Because we live in a time where there's always noise. Isn't there? In the world we live in, there's always noise. Rarely do we have times where we just sit and be quiet, but I encourage you to take at least 5-10 minutes. If you can do more than that, that's great. But at least start with just 5 or 10 minutes to just, when you get into that quiet place, just be still before the Lord. Don't say anything. Don't ask anything. Just be quiet and be still and know that the Lord is God. And then thirdly, you'll be like, duh, talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Psalm 91:15 says, "When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them." God wants us to call on Him. He wants us to talk to Him. All throughout the Bible, we see God's people calling out to Him. They sought Him about everything. They sought out the Lord for everything they needed to do. They called upon the name of the Lord. And today it's funny, we seem to ask everyone else around us for advice. What do you think about this? What do you think about, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think about this? We ask everyone else for advice, and oftentimes we fail just to seek and talk to God, to ask Him what His desire for our life is. You know, how often do we really talk to the Lord? Just talk to Him, share with Him our dreams, our passions, give Him those things that we're processing. We need to take time to really just talk to the Lord. And then fourthly, once we've talked to the Lord, because sometimes we don't have a problem with that part, right? We'll just talk and talk and talk and not close our mouth ever, right? The fourth thing, we need to listen. We have to listen. You see, oftentimes we ask God things for this and that, or we ask whatever, And then we fail to really listen to His response. What is He saying? What is He speaking to us? God wants to talk back to us. He wants us to hear His voice. The problem is we're just not taking the time sometimes to listen. And maybe it's the distractions, and maybe part of that is to be in that quiet place where you can really listen to Him. I think we'd be surprised sometimes if we really took the time to listen to what the Lord was telling us. What? You mean you don't want me to treat the person like this? Oh, you want me to love them? You want me to care for them? You want me to reach out? You want me to actually do the things that you did in your scriptures? God begins to speak these, oh, I just thought that was what you did, Jesus. I didn't know that's what you want me to do. I think we'd be surprised when we really listen to the Lord what He will tell us to do. Find a quiet place. Be quiet before the Lord for a while. Just talk to Him, listen to Him. And then lastly, and this is the important part, do what He says. Do what He says. It's one thing to talk to Him. It's one thing to listen to Him. But it's a whole other thing to actually do what He says. You've heard me share this with my kids, you know. Toby, go do this. Emma, go do this. And oftentimes it's like, did you hear what I said? Yeah, I heard you. Why didn't you do it? Right? We do it all the time. We hear things, but we then don't do it. To walk out His will and plan for our life, we have to do what He says. Because the reality is our prayer life means nothing if we're not being obedient to whatever it is that He's asking us to do. And as I said, these are just some pretty simple things. But I challenge you. I challenge you to try these things. I challenge you to become people of prayer. And if you truly do these things, if you truly become someone that learns to pray, that is praying unselfishly, that makes this a part of your life, tell me if it doesn't make a difference. If you can do these things, if you can follow these things out, if you can seek the God that we talked about on a regular basis, I dare you to come back to me and tell me that it didn't make a difference in your life. Because I guarantee you, if you do these things, if we begin to become people who are truly seeking the Lord, who are truly spending time with Him, allowing Him to speak to us, and we're living it out, we're going to see changes in our life. We're going to see God move in ways. And it doesn't mean that all of a sudden we're going to walk down the street and everybody's going to be healed because we're so amazing. It doesn't mean that. I mean, I'm the most godly guy I know, and I still, you know, people still are not getting healed the way I want them to be healed. I'm just kidding about that. I'm far from the most godly guy I know. I totally lost my train of thought where I was going there. I got sidetracked. Doesn't mean all of a sudden people are going to get healed. It just means that in the midst of whatever goes on, we're going to experience His peace. We're going to see His hand at work in things that we didn't understand before. We didn't understand how God was moving in this situation, but we're going to begin to see those things and see lives being changed and lives being impacted. I started off saying, I think sometimes we take for granted the power of prayer. I really wish it was, and I knew I just couldn't pull it off. As we were sitting here this morning praying, I thought, man, I should have had pieces of paper for you guys to write on with envelopes again. And I should have had you sit down here and write down some of those things that you want to see God do in people's lives. Whether it's people you want to see come to know Jesus, whether it's people this or that, whatever it may be. I should have had you do that this morning, and I should have had you give them to me and encourage you to be people to pray and then send them back to you at the end of the year and to see how God moves. Because I really believe if we become people that pray and that seek Him, we're going to see God do the miraculous in the lives around us. And it comes from being faithful to just seek Him, to pray not our will, but His will be done. Prayer is important. We have to understand that. We have to make it a regular part of our life. Amen? Let me pray. Lord, we thank You for this word. And just this last few weeks, this whole thing on prayer, and I love, Lord, how the faith of a child brought this whole series about. A young boy wanting prayer because he believed that God could heal and move. If we all could have that childlike faith in everything, that immediately we just said, let's pray. Let's give it to You because God is bigger than anything that the world comes and brings against us. We want to be people who learn to pray, Lord, with that childlike faith. I want to be that five-year-old that says, you don't need that cast, Dad, because God can heal you. I want to be that person that can just seek you and trust in the way that you move and the way that you do things, that can rejoice in those times when you don't answer the way I want you to. Because I know that, Lord, you have a plan that is much bigger than my plan, Lord Jesus. I want to be someone who trusts in you with all my heart. As I shared, Lord, earlier this week, I struggled at times in this week. I don't like death, Lord. I don't like dealing with death. Even though I know that you are God and I know that they're with you, it's such a difficult thing. And I was challenged to realize, where is my faith of truly just trusting in God's will and way? Trusting that your kingdom is what it's all about. Not my desires, not what I think, not what I want to happen, but it's about you moving in the lives of those around us. And how through difficult and challenging situations, Lord, you are still there and you are still moving and you do the miraculous. People that come to know you in the midst of tragedies, people that are drawn to you in the midst of difficulties, people whose lives are changed in ways that we never thought or imagined they would be changed, Lord. You are such an amazing God. And we thank you, Lord, for your love for us. And we want to be people who just continually seek you, who seek your will for our lives. People who, Lord, in the midst of the difficulties are like Paul, that we consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds, because we know that the testing of our faith develops perseverance. Lord, because we know that in those times we are able to draw closer to you and experience a closeness to you in ways that maybe we don't when things are going well, Lord. Help us be people who see those things and experience those things regardless of what's happening in the world around us, Lord. Help us basically, Lord, to be people of prayer who love you, who seek you with all that we are, Lord. Challenge me as the pastor of this church, Lord, to be someone who sets the example of how we pray, who teaches the people of our church the importance and the power that comes from prayer. And again, it's not prayer that's powerful, it's the God that we pray to. Lord, we thank you for this word. May you allow it to penetrate each of our hearts where we're at. Speak to us, Lord. What do we need to hear today? What is it that you wanted to speak to each and every one of us? May we experience that today in all that we are and all that we do. We thank you and we praise you for these things. We give them to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.